Hey there, NFL football fans. This is the lovely Rita Sanchez, aka your Option Football champ for the 2023 NFL season. I'm inviting you to join us for the 2024 Option, where we pick the winning teams for each week's matchups and compete against each other to see whose picks reign supreme. Are you in? Head over to CBS Sports and search for the Option 2024 League, or hit the link in the bio on the Fade Route socials and join today. It's for free. Pick a witty name, some winning teams, and I'll see you out there for week one.
Coming at you live from the Ayo studio.
Ayo.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we got a great show for you tonight. We're going to have a nice audience tonight. Andrew Dalton throws for 300 yards. 49ers lose without their stars. And the Major League Baseball season is coming to an end. We begin today's show with the Minnesota Vikings. Sam Darnold led the Vikings to victory against their toughest matchup this year, kicking in the skull of the Houston Texans 34-7. Sam throwing for four tutties. But he wasn't alone. The defense smothered Stroud. I believe their defense is number one in the league right now all day. And Aaron Jones had 102 yards on the ground. So what is the ceiling for the Minnesota Vikings?
So
we're getting close to four games, Sam.
This is it, right?
We're getting close to four games, Sam.
This was supposed to be the game. This was supposed to be the game.
It was supposed to start to deteriorate in this game.
Yeah, this was supposed to be the day that the glass slipper kind of fell off and, just went to shit. But it didn't. And you look at the numbers, 17 to 28, not great. Not great for percentage-wise. 181, nothing really to write home about, right? Like, we trashed Joe Burrow for a better yardage performance. It's the touchdowns. Like, Sam Darnold
throwing tutties.
He put it on Jefferson. He put it on Aaron Jones. He did what he needed to do. And as much as it is Sam Darnold not fucking up, which is important, your quarterback is, he is the guy who needs to be steady Eddie. He can't be fucking up, as is Sam Darnold's career history. Like, we understand the trajectory. That's why we're expecting him to fall apart, because history tells us that he does.
Right.
History tells us that Ryan Fitzpatrick inevitably falls apart. It tells us that Gardner Minshew inevitably falls apart. And that's what makes you a veteran backup quarterback. Yep. Andy Dalton. You don't expect a big year from Andy Dalton. You expect like a few good games and a hell of a lot of mediocre. So that's kind of where Sam Darnold is right now. He's out kicking his coverage. He's doing a very good job in Kevin O'Connell's offense. Aaron Jones is running the rock. 102, nothing to sneeze at. Didn't get in the end zone on the ground, got in there in the air. So that part is great. Kudos need to go to Brian Flores. That defense was ready to go. Stroud was smothered, like you said. Mostly because the defense could pin their ears back because there was no Joe Mixon and there was no Damian Pierce. You're down to Cam Akers. And Cam Akers is not the Cam Akers from the Rams. He's not that guy anymore. Right? Just like Todd Gurley, when he went to the Falcons, was not the Todd Gurley from the Rams. It's just not that guy anymore. He can't be that guy because of his injury history. So Brian Flores did what he needed to do. And he snuffed out a really good fucking team, right? Houston is still really good. So as far as what the ceiling is, you can dream, you can hope, absolutely. Division title? Sure, you're in the mix. Win a playoff game? Possibly. I'm not willing to commit to anything more than that. Not yet, because inevitably history tells me that the bottom falls out of Sam Darnold. right?
Well, the bottom used to fall out of Geno Smith too, right?
The bottom is still falling out. What has Geno Smith done? Geno Smith, tell me the Lombardi trophy that Geno Smith held up. Tell me the playoff game that Geno Smith has gone to. Tell me the NFC championship game
his
that Geno Smith
has... His team is 3-0, just like the Minnesota Vikings are 3-0.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I really don't think that they'll be able to represent in the Super Bowl either. But I don't think that highly of either team. They're just kind of there. That's what they are right now. And I mean, with the injury situation, like we're going to talk about the injury situation with the Niners again. Stop me when that sounds familiar. The Niners are hurt again. The Cowboys are overrated. The Eagles, they're allergic to field goals. Like, they don't fucking kick the ball. There's really nobody. It's a 3-0 team, but they don't feel like a great team. They don't feel like a juggernaut team. The Vikings don't feel like a juggernaut team. Neither do the Seahawks. And we'll expand on that a little bit later, but you know, like that's the life of waiting for the other shoe to drop. You know? That's what it is with guys like Sam Darnold, guys like Geno Smith, guys like Andy Dalton. Supremely talented, great arm talent, can throw the ball, absolutely can throw. You never doubt Sam Darnold's arm strength, right? It was always what was between the ears. And inevitably, between the ears is what bites him in the ass. Now, so far, he's weathered the storm against a really tough team. Let's see if he can keep that up.
Yeah, I mean, you hit on some things, but I'll go back and just say that Brian Flores' defense is something that Stroud's never seen before. I mean, what he's doing with his players is you think you know where they're going and you think you know the coverage and what they're supposed to do, and they're not doing that. And for a quarterback like Stroud, it's like, wait a minute, the safety dropped. I'm seeing two men over here. Okay. I'm going to be able to throw over the middle of the field. Uh-oh, the linebackers just dropped. They're only rushing four, and here comes a corner. What the hell's going on here? Like,
right.
And that's what's happening. It's like what teams are expecting to see from his defense, that's not what the players are doing. And they're doing an outstanding job of knowing their job on every play and knowing their role on every play. And that's why they're playing successful defense. Now, I'm a Sam fan. I've been on record here saying I have his Patrick-y auto. I'm not selling that. I've always been a fan of him. What's happening with Sam right now is he's exceeding that third game, right? We said it with three, you know, yes. The third or the fourth yes. game. But what's happening to Sam? He's getting coached. He's getting coached by an offensive-minded coach. Kyle Shanahan couldn't wait to get his hands on Sam Darnold, and I was on record last year saying I thought he was going to become the starter. They elected to stick with Purdy. That all worked out, but he is with Kevin KOC right now, and KOC knows how to coach. He's putting Sam in position for him to be successful. And when in doubt, find number 18. Find number 18, Sam. Don't be afraid to throw it up that way. Hit the checkdowns. Don't turn the ball over. He's got, I think, eight touchdowns and two interceptions. Phenomenal. And he's got a chip on his shoulder, man. Like, when they played against Carolina, he's like, that's what you got for cutting me. And I'm sure when he sees the Jets in 2 weeks, he's going to have something for them. To me, that's the benchmark. The benchmark is what's going to happen when the Minnesota Vikings go to England and play the New York Jets. That is when I'm going to make my decision on where the Vikings are going to go this year. You know, because that is going to be a big time game. He's going to be facing his old team, the team that drafted him. They've got Aaron Rodgers. They've got supposedly a good defense. They've got a defensive minded coach. Are they going to be able to stop Sam and stop the Minnesota Vikings? This weekend's a big test too. He's playing Green Bay. Green Bay, another team that has a top defense, top five defense. I believe they lead the league in takeaways, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. This is going, and it's in Green Bay. But to me, for me, the marquee matchup comes next week when they go to England to play the Jets. Now, ceiling for this team. Oh, ceiling for this team. I think, you know, with Love out, it's hard to really crown the Packers because we don't know what Love's going to be when he comes back. And Malik Willis has been playing out of his mind. Really happy for that guy. It's another guy I'm happy for. I'm happy for Sam Darnold. I'm happy for Malik Willis. I'm always happy for those guys that, you know, didn't get the proper chance, but kind of got discarded and come back to show teams, you know, I can really play. It seems to be that this is going to be a struggle year for Caleb Williams, so I don't think Chicago's going anywhere. Detroit has a really challenging game this week. I'm curious to see how they're going to come on top. Who are they playing again? They're playing the Seahawks. They're playing the Seahawks. We're going to find a lot about Detroit this week when they play against the Seahawks.
Going to find out a lot about Seattle, too.
So I'm going to say right now the ceiling for the Vikings would be making the playoffs in their division. That's the ceiling. Because I think when you go through a season, Justin Jefferson doesn't stay healthy. Something happens to Jordan Addison. Like, I can't really bank on Sam Darnold carrying the team, right? He's a supporting cast member of this team, and he's doing a damn good job.
It's hard for me to see where other playoff teams are coming from right now because we banked on the Rams. The Rams are not great right now, riddled with injury.
They're hurt.
Yeah. The Niners, riddled with injury. Eagles, mediocre. Will win you that division, right?
Clutch win this weekend, though. That was a big win.
Yeah.
I thought that game was over.
So they definitely gutted it out.
Had a sensational run. I don't know if you got to see that.
Yeah, I'm not interested. I'm not interested. The Giants have their quarterback. The Giants have their running back.
Biggers.
They have a good 26, too. They have a good 26,
Motor.
Too. Motor. Devin Singletary. Absolutely. Motor. You know, you want to talk about guys who got discarded and not given a proper shot.
Oh, he got plenty of shots in Buffalo. Don't give me that shit. He was their guy. There was no other guy.
So did Sam Darnold. How many starts did he have in the NFL? Don't give me that shit either.
With who? Who was his coach?
Oh, Mr. Adam Gase. He's not a quarterback guy.
Who's coaching a high school down the street right now?
You know, because he got Peyton Manning a cup of coffee. He became a fucking guru. But that's the NFL for you.
Then he goes to Carolina where they don't know their ass from their elbow. Give Sam credit, man. He's developing as a player. And no matter what happens this year, he should be able to get a second chance if they don't keep him in Minnesota. This could very well be like a Drew Brees, Philip Rivers situation. Where, remember, they wound up drafting Philip Rivers, and it's like, well, Brees played really good, but what are we going to do? Like, you know, we can't really keep him, so we'll see what's going to happen. It should be interesting. But
they can't justify keeping Sam Darnold with J.J. McCarthy where they got him. They overreached to get him. They're going to play their guy.
You don't think they could trade J.J. McCarthy? You don't think there's a team out there that would be interested in J.J. McCarthy?
There might be a team interested in J.J. McCarthy.
Justin Jefferson walks in at the end of the season and says, I want Sam to throw me the ball next year. We're going to tell him, well, J.J., we kind of drafted this guy from Michigan who's coming off of an injury, and he's going to be starting in the NFL for the first time. We don't know what he's going to look like, but we want to go with him. How do you think Justin Jefferson's going to react to that?
No, Justin Jefferson's a diva, so we know exactly how he's going to react.
Like, no, absolutely not. No, if he walks at the end of the season and goes to bat for Sam, Sam's going to be the starter. Don't get it twisted. You got a rookie coming off of an injury. I don't know what that guy's going to look like. And Caleb Williams, we see what he is. So you think JJ's going to do better than that guy? I don't know, man.
The bar is low.
The bar is low. But
the bar is low, but you know what? You know whose bar isn't low? Jaden Daniels. That was a hell of a game against the Bengals. So he had almost a perfect passer rating.
He did.
So there's something to be said about that.
He looks really good. That's another team that's putting their – he's got weapons. Like I've said it for – I even said it last year. Like the Commies have players. They have talent. I love Brian Robinson Jr. I'm so mad I didn't get him in my fantasy league. I love their team. Austin Eckler is out, but he's their backup. Their backup running back is Austin Eckler. Like, come on. Like, come on. And Scary Terry, they're playing really well. But we mentioned Minnesota, but let's discuss the remaining undefeateds in the NFL. Besides the Vikings, we have the Chiefs, Bills, Seahawks, and Steelers. So who is the most impressive so far, and who will be the last undefeated team standing?
Let's go with the least impressive so far, and believe it or not, that's the Kansas City Chiefs. They are so lucky they're not 0-3. You got Likely's foot, you got another foot, and you got a pass interference. That's the one thing that's fucking keeping you 3-0. As far as, I mean, they look sluggish.
So that's what you're not impressed with them winning close games?
No. I'm not impressed with them winning via luck.
They're getting people are throwing their best at them, and they're still coming home with a victory even when they go on the road. But that's
not impressed. Not Baltimore, impressed. If Isaiah Likely was a size 11, they would have won. So there you go. If Isaiah Likely was a size 11.
Well, that just ties the game, Z. That ties the game. It doesn't win them the game.
Harbaugh's going for two. You know Harbaugh. Lamar, what do you want to do? Lamar. Hey, Lamar, what do you want to do?
Are you calling me?
Me? No, the other Lamar. Yes, you. So I'm looking at offensively, Buffalo's humming right now. You know, they have scored the most points in the league. That's impressive. And really not putting up like flashy numbers. They're pretty efficient all the way around. They're 14th in passing yards, 14th in rushing yards. Not enough to, that doesn't really blow you away. Mm-hmm. But they're still dangerous. Mm-hmm. But you look at the Steelers and the Seahawks, right? Mm-hmm. Steelers averaging 8.7 points per game. That's not sustainable. No fucking way is that sustainable. They're scoring 17. You're telling me they're going to win 17-9 every week? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. It's impressive. The Steeler defense is impressive. The Steeler offense is nothing to write home about. They've been bludgeoning the shit out of people. And you know what? That works in their division. That plays in their division. That's what they do. That's what that division does. They beat the shit out of each other. But ain't no way is 8.7 sustainable. No goddamn way. And that leaves me with the Seahawks. Third in passing yards in the league. Not great on the ground. Kenneth Walker hasn't really gotten it going yet. Charbonnet hasn't really gotten it going either.
Charbo's good.
Hasn't gotten it going to where they need to, though. He's leading the team with 141 rushing yards.
Woo!
Woo! Yeah, three touchdowns and 141 rushing yards.
Mommy.
So there's something to be said for that. But they score. They're ninth in the league in scoring, and they're fourth in the league in points against at 14.3. So to me, Seattle is way more impressive because of the fact that it's balanced. And they're doing this with a rookie head coach in Mike McDonald. You know, he's has to replace Pete Carroll. He has to replace the legacy that was there, the Legion of Boom, Russ, and, you know, what we've known for the past, 15 years? Like, he has to replace that on the fly. And he's bringing that Baltimore Raven grit and toughness there. That's what he's doing. Geno's balling out. As of right now, I mean, it's a cakewalk to the division if it, obviously it's not going to stay this way because the Rams are going to get healthy. The Niners are going to get healthy. But as of right now, you got to be impressed with the Seahawks because it's the most balanced. Now, the Chiefs will most likely be the last team standing just because they're the Chiefs. They have the pedigree. They have the pelts on the wall. But you got to be impressed with these other teams because Seattle was an also-ran. They bubbled up, then they went faded back down, and now they're back again. Mm-hmm. Buffalo, you got rid of Diggs. You got rid of, you know, you got rid of McKenzie. That defense, we didn't know what was going to happen with, you know, Milano. We didn't know what was going to happen. Losing their secondary. Damar Hamlin came in, got his first pick. So that's awesome. Congratulations, Damar.
Friend of the program.
And then always a friend of the show. Absolutely friend of the show. And then the Steelers, the offense is a circus. Is it Russ? Is it Fields? Who's their number one? Is it George Pickens? Is George Pickens really a number one? Is Freiermuth really Heath Miller 2.0? You know, Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren, they're getting the burn right now. Arthur Smith said, we're going to pound it down your fucking throat. And that's what he's doing. Good. Yeah, I'm glad he learned that, because last year, if he did that with Bijan Robinson, he would still be the fucking head coach of Atlanta. Would he not? If he remembered he had a fucking running back? So I'm glad he learned his lesson. But yeah, when it's all said and done and the smoke is cleared and we're waiting, we're at the end of the line, Kansas City is going to be there, because they've demonstrated time and time again that they can do the job. The other teams, they're just not there yet.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the most impressive are the Steelers. And I said this. I had the Steelers being who I thought they were. You know, I get that they only average 8 points a game, and that isn't sustainable, right? 100% agree with you. But the offense is coming along, and Justin Fields is doing a really good job. The question is going to become for Tomlin soon is, when are you going to name this guy the starter? You know, he's 3-0. He's probably going to be – they're playing the Colts this weekend. He's probably going to be 4-0 after that. At some point, you've got to be like, hey, man, he's our guy. He's our leader. And I can't imagine them taking this away from him. And I love what they're doing on defense, and I do love what they're doing on offense. They're running the ball. They know who they are. We're going to play action. We're going to roll Justin Fields out. We're going to give him easy reads. We're going to give him easy throws. And Justin, just don't turn the ball over. Don't be Zach Wilson out there. Just don't run in the right direction. Run straight and throw the ball to our team. And that's what he's doing. And you can't fault their team. Now, as far as who's going to be the last one standing, you know, the Chiefs have been really cutting it close lately. So it's hard to say that they're going to be the ones that are the last one standing. I think the last undefeated is probably going to be the Bills. Just because I haven't seen a team really measure up to them yet. You know, they're blowing people out. They're giving everybody they play a hard time. And Josh Allen, MVP so far, just everything he's doing is amazing. He's, you know, even though I feel like he's cut down on the runs and he's not turning the football over. He's being a leader. So that's who I got as the last undefeated team standing.
That's a tough sled, man. I mean, I appreciate that, but the next 5 weeks are going to be pretty damn tough for Buffalo in terms of facing defenses. They got Baltimore this Sunday. They got Houston, even though they just got waxed. They're still not a bad defense. Then you got the Jets on the 14th. So, you know, and then you got the Titans, who aren't bad on defense. Offense, different story. Offense is a completely different story, but defense, they play. And then you got the Seahawks. So that's a tough sled, because then you're going to go into Miami, Indy, and then a showdown with the Chiefs. So if they're both there at that point, that could be a really interesting matchup. But, you know, that's kind of like a murderer's row right there. And if Buffalo can keep waxing teams like they've been waxing them, sure, absolutely. But I don't know. I just really, I'm not sure about that. You know, like Josh Allen's playing great right now. They remember they have James Cook. How long is that going to... That's the key to this. How long do they remember they have James Cook? Because the moment Josh Allen plays hero ball and becomes the leading rusher on the team again, that's when shit's going to go south for Buffalo.
For sure.
And we always see that whenever we absolutely don't need to see that, that's exactly when we see it from Buffalo.
Well, he's got an offensive coordinator now in Joe Brady, who's doing a good job of getting the ball out of his hands and giving it to Cook. So maybe he's matured enough, or maybe he's realized that he can't do this all on his own.
We're all busy these days and wear a lot of hats, myself included. I'm a teacher, a podcast host, and a chef instructor. But there's one thing we all have in common. We all have to get dinner on the table. And if you need a little inspiration in the kitchen, check out As You Eat It, only on YouTube, hosted by me, Chef Z. I invite you into my home and show you methods designed to empower and inspire you in the kitchen. Cook how you want to cook, eat how you want to eat, eat as you eat it. That's A-Z, You Eat It, only on YouTube. Check it out, and let's get cooking.
speaking of standings, the Niners, they're barely standing. The Niners injury train has made an early stop this year, and the Rams took advantage of it, besting the defending NFC champs 27-24. No Debo, no Kittle, a banged up Nick Bosa, and CMC's going to Germany to seek a second opinion on his Achilles. How can the Niners withstand yet another run of devastating injuries and stay afloat in the NFC? Where the hell is Brandon Ayuk? Where are you at, man? Where are you at? Jennings came in and just ran the show last week. What the hell was that about?
Well, I mean, say what you will about Juwan. Juwan Jennings is a good. I told you not to sleep on Juwan Jennings at the beginning of the year. Like he's the deep cut, right? And he is, you know, you catch three fucking touchdowns. Yeah, you're on the map now. Just like the running back 2 weeks ago, you know. Yeah, you're filling in for Christian McCaffrey, but now you just made a name for yourself. You absolutely just made a name for yourself. But how far can they go? You know, with Jordan Mason as your starting running back and your number one wide receiver is allegedly Brandon Ayuk. 5 for 48. What? No, absolutely not. So Juwan Jennings definitely picked up the slack admirably. How far can they go? How much can they withstand? They can't withstand much more if they're losing that much in their skill position, and they sure as hell can't be winning games if Jake Moody's missing fucking field goals. Right? You know, this defense can only do so much, and we can't say, oh, Brock Purdy's got to do. Brock Purdy did his fucking job, dude. Like we can't say anything about Brock Purdy anymore. Like, he's showing that he's a credible quarterback in this league. It's the other guys. It's the depth skill positions. Now, they're being tested. They're absolutely being tested right now. Kittle, probably week to week. Maybe he plays this week. We'll see. Debo, we'll see. McCaffrey's not coming back for anything. You're going to a foreign country to get that Kobe Bryant therapy? Like, that's serious. That's serious, dude. And you got to wonder if he's out for the season right now. If he's out for the season, is Jordan Mason good enough to carry this load?
I think he is.
We'll see. And
I think he is.
But you know, Elijah Mitchell, you know, is he on IR? I would think he might be on IR.
He's out
So if he comes back, you know, if and when Elijah Mitchell comes back, that's not bad. You got a running game. Brock Purdy is pretty good. Ayuk got paid. You got your money. You got what you wanted. Now it's time for you to show up. You cannot be shown up by your wide receiver three. Right? Juwan Jennings is the wide receiver three. Actually, you know, fuck that. He's the wide receiver four because George Kittle is on this team. Mm-hmm. So you can't, as the alleged one, you cannot get shown up by the fourth best receiver. No, you can't. So Ayuk's got to friggin' figure it out because he's going to get everybody's best shot now because Debo's out. Because Kittle's out. Figure out how to get open. Because you're going to get the ball. But there's really nobody else for him to throw to.
Yeah, I mean, my weird statement would be that they could not win the Super Bowl with CMC. I really don't think they can win it without him. I know that sounds backward, but I think the first time they went to the Super Bowl, the first time they played the Chiefs, they didn't have him, and they didn't win that game either.
No, they didn't.
We've talked about this. Kyle Shanahan's offense gets people hurt. People get hurt. And Debo's a big dude, but he also takes some big shots. I mean, you're talking about a wide receiver that you're throwing in the backfield and having him run, like, ending arounds and reverses, and even sometimes they give him the ball on the goal line.
Mm-hmm.
It's not surprised that he got hurt. Kittle's a problem because it's a hamstring. I don't like hamstring injuries, and I don't like toe injuries. They just don't go away.
They linger.
You just don't know if you could really open it up, and the minute you do, it's like, it's just you're just never 100%. I mean, look at freaking Mike Thomas, who had the toe injury. He hit his toe against a coffee table, and the dude hasn't been able to play football since. That's freaking nuts. Dislocated his toe against a coffee table. And guy is the all-time leader, I think, in receptions in a season, and he can't get back into the league.
So you're telling me that if he called John Lynch, he couldn't get a tryout at this point? Can't guard Mike.
Can't guard Mike. Can't sign Mike. Can't pay Mike. Mike can't play. But I mean, I don't see any path to survival here. I think this is just going to keep going south. And the Cardinals are good. The Seahawks are good. The Rams are losing 21-7 in the third quarter. They came back and won the damn game. And they have less than you do. They didn't have Cup, Nacua. They had nobody. There's nobody there. And they somehow won. So
Kyren Williams, man. There you go. That's how they did it. Kyren friggin' Williams.
Kyren Williams is right, but no, I don't buy into Kyle Shanahan and his team without stars. They're not able to do what the Pittsburgh Steelers are doing. And that's the other thing, is their defense. Their defense lost that game. Like, where the hell were you? How are the Rams scoring points? How are the Rams coming back? I understand Bosa's hurt, but Fred Warner, where are you at, man? Where's the intensity? Where's the team that was flying around against the Jets? Were the Jets just that bad? Like, what is it, Z? Were the Jets just that bad? Because that's the only game they won, right? They didn't win last week, did they?
No, they did not. They're 1-2.
The only team they beat is the Paper Planes, and the Paper Planes suck. They're gonna get theirs this weekend when the Broncos come to town. So, I mean, listen, I think for the 49ers, I don't think CMC's coming back. And even if he does come back, it's a pitch count. It's just like, we're not gonna really rev you up, man, because if he pops his Achilles, that is just going to be such a long recovery for a running back. And then as far as Debo is concerned, he'll come back and he'll get hurt again. It's hard for him to take shots the way he takes shots.
Not completely. And they do have a little bit of a soft landing this weekend. They have the Patriots. So even as constituted, they should be okay. Now, you're going to run through the gauntlet. You got Arizona, Seattle, Kansas City, and then you got Dallas.
Sounds like all L's to me. Might be able to beat Dallas.
I think you beat New England. I think you beat Dallas. Everybody else you lose to. Because the week after Dallas is Tampa Bay. Yeah, no, you're losing to Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay just stunk up the joint against some bum-ass team. Well, they just lose to...
Tampa Bay did just stink out the joint, so mediocrity wins you divisions, right? This year, there's really like even the undefeated teams aren't that impressive, man.
Oh yeah,
so that's exactly what I'm saying. They lost the fucking Broncos.
The Tampa Bakers lost to the Broncos.
They lost to the Broncos. Bo Nix had a great game though. Bo Nix had a good game.
My man.
So, you know, it's one of those things that somebody's going to bubble up. Maybe this is the opening for the Cardinals. Now we need to think about that, right? You got the Seahawks at the top. The Cardinals are healthy.
I love the
Cardinals. You take advantage of the Niners. You take advantage of the Rams, and you jump them, at least for a year. Maybe you're a year ahead of schedule, but you play the hand you're dealt. So, you know, this could be the opportunity that the Arizona Cardinals need. Now, we'll see. I mean, they got the Commies this week. The Commies look pretty decent. But then again, we thought the Bengals were going to be a contender.
Oh, jeez.
So,
like, I would still count. I mean, listen, the odds of them making the playoffs are still +150. So people still think they're gonna come back. Not a lot of teams come back from 0-3, but remember, 7 teams get in now, man. Like, 7 teams get in. They'll be all right, I think.
But my argument. Where are these teams coming from? That's where they're coming from. I mean, yeah, the Bengals are 0-3. They draw the Panthers this weekend. But, you know, they should be 1-3. They should be at the end of that. But, where are these teams coming from? Because right now I'm just seeing a big bowl of suck. I'm just seeing a big bowl of mediocrity. And, you know, I mean, time will tell. It's only week 4. You're only about a quarter of the way through the season. So, you know, give it time. The McCaffrey thing has to scare you.
You can't help but smile when you see a balloon. Popstarsballoons.com offers spectacular balloon decor for all of life's events. Specializing in custom balloon creations and installations for private events, corporate and school functions, photo shoots, brand events, and fundraisers. Led by certified balloon artist, the Popstars Balloon Team, shape balloons into custom works of art. Popstar Balloons provides full concept balloon design, build and installation services, as well as pre-assembled decor pieces available for pickup or delivery. Popstar Balloons is a woman-owned, small family business focused on providing professional balloon services using only high-quality, 100% biodegradable natural latex balloons made in the U.S. and Italy. They consistently prioritize the safest use and handling of balloons in a sustainable and responsible manner. Popstars Balloons is located in Westchester County, New York, but likes to party at events throughout New York City, Connecticut, Long Island, and New Jersey. Popstars Balloons can also accommodate balloon decor services for destination events. No event too big, no event too small, and their custom personalization service is the perfect touch. They also offer a full line of event decor options like backdrop, prop rentals, tablescapes, dessert table setups, custom signs, and they always deliver with a smile. Whether you're looking for gift balloons, classic decor, or large-scale design for a big impact, Popstars Balloons will create the perfect decor for your theme, vibe, and space. So if you have an idea in mind or need inspiration, Popstars Balloons decor will be the cutting edge and spectacular. Visit popstarballoons.com to pop your next event.
Now, we just mentioned the Panthers, didn't we? How about that? So now for something completely different, right? The Carolina Panthers won a game.
Woohoo!
I think I wet my pants. Andrew Dalton led the Cats to a 36-22 victory over the Raiders on Sunday. And after the game, Raiders head coach Antonio Pierce indicted his team for making business decisions during the game. And that he, in turn, would make business decisions throughout the week. What's the bigger story? The Panthers win or the Raiders dysfunction?
The Raiders are a non-story. I think the Panthers are the story, but let's not give them a break. There's some dysfunction there too. I mean, if you think about it, right? They didn't let Bryce Young play at all in the preseason.
No.
Then he plays two games and he doesn't do well, and you bring in Andrew Dalton, who's like what? If you take all the quarterbacks that are there today, right? He was an average quarterback 10 years ago. But amongst these guys, he's a thrower, man. He's a thrower. Nobody was ready for him throwing the ball like the red rifle he was.
No.
There's no tape on Andrew Dalton in this team. And he was giving it to the guys. He was getting Thielen. He was getting Deontay Johnson. People had to respect the run game. Like, oh, shit, the Panthers look legitimate. But listen, I really think that the Panthers are failing Bryce Young. I think that's the bigger story here. Because you said one week that he's your guy, you're going to stand behind your guy. Then a couple days later, you say you're going to start Andrew Dalton. Now Andrew Dalton has this great game. Now what are you going to do? So now what's the path for Bryce Young? Like, he's still in his rookie deal. This is his second year. You're not going to be able to, even if when this season ends, you're not re-signing Andrew Dalton. So what are you going to do? You're going to pull the Jets thing, and you're going to go get another veteran, and then have Bryce Young be the backup. And then when the veteran messes up, you're going to bring in Bryce Young and have him start again. Like, what's the plan here, guys?
The thing is that Dave Canales has no tie to Bryce Young, right? This is his third head coach, a second GM. This GM didn't want Bryce Young. This GM didn't draft Bryce Young. That was the other guy. That was the other guy. Frank Reich didn't want to coach this guy. It was Jeff Fisher and Jared Goff all over again. How do you not ask the fucking coach? Who do you want? You want Stroud or you want Young? That's an organizational failure. I agree. But going back to what we were saying, you play the hand you're dealt. This is the hand you're dealt. And Bryce Young, 84 fucking yards. No, you got to sit. Goodbye. Sit.
Nah, the numbers are awful, Z.
Yeah, you can't
justify
it. They're
awful, but they're not his fault. Like, I don't blame him.
Does share a percentage of the blame. I'm not saying it's all on him, but you know what? Talent? Superior talent can overcome this shit. Like, all of this bad
play. Oh, yeah, like Trevor Lawrence? Is that the superior talent you're referring to?
No, he's mediocre, too.
So what? Stroud? Look at how he played last weekend.
Yeah, like, come now on. Look at the bigger body of work. You're entitled to one game. Bryce Young has had 18 of them. So what's the bigger sample size? The one stinker that CJ Stroud put, or the 18 games?
Okay, would you rather have Stroud's talent, or would you rather have Bryce Young's talent?
I'd rather have CJ Stroud.
Right, he's got talent around him. That team was built and ready.
You said whose talent? I would rather have CJ Stroud's talent.
Oh no, now, I'm talking about the talent.
The guys around him, it's a wash.
You're crazy. He has Joe Mixon, Cam Akers, Tank Dell. Are you kidding me? That you'd rather have the Carolina Panthers clowns than those guys?
The cupboard's not bare in Tampa and Carolina.
I didn't say it was bare. I'm saying you're telling me you want to turn around and hand the ball off to Chuba Hubbard rather than fucking Joe Mixon? Joe Mixon going to pick up the blitz. I don't know where Chuba Hubbard is. I don't even know where he is. Did he even break the huddle with us? Where is he? Like, are you kidding me? You going to trust Adam Thielen going over the middle? Or are you going to trust Big Tank Dell going over the middle?
I could trust both of them going over the middle. Adam Thielen, you're making Adam Thielen out to be a chump. Adam Thielen has been a good receiver in this league for years.
Remind me where he got drafted. Remind me when he was drafted. Oh, yeah, that's right. He was undrafted.
Yeah, and what's your point?
And Tank Dell, was he drafted? Did he play for a program? Like, come on, you can't
Jamarcus Russell was played for the program, right? He was number one overall pick. Tony Romo was undrafted. This don't mean shit, buddy. It doesn't mean jack shit.
Better defense, Houston or Carolina?
Houston.
Better coaching, Houston or Carolina?
Houston. Now, what you said, what talent do I want?
I'm just adding, now, I'm adding to my argument that I'd rather have the skilled players on Houston. I'd rather have the coaching staff on Houston. I'd rather have the defense on Houston. Like, he was just in a better situation.
Swap places. Bryce Young goes to Houston. CJ Stroud goes to Carolina with this these group of scrubs, as you like to think they are. Does CJ Stroud do what he does in Houston? I think he does.
I think he's
more talented than Bryce Young.
I think the teams are 500 teams if that happens. They're both 500 teams. Bryce Young's team in Houston would be a 500 team, and Stroud would be able to play with that Panther team to a 500 level this year with Canales, not last year. So that's the way I see it.
Well, here's the thing. CJ Stroud with Frank Reich. Frank Reich is a competent quarterback coach in this league. Like, you actually give Frank Reich a quarterback that he wanted to coach?
Mm-hmm.
That's a different story, man.
I just don't know if the surrounding players would have been up to the task and up to the challenge. It's not easy playing with a rookie quarterback, man.
No, it's not. It's absolutely not. But you know who has that experience? Andy Dalton. Wait, let's take it back. Like, Andrew Dalton. Well, he was Andy when he came into the league. When he was a young Red Rifle. When he was, you know, the ginger gunslinger. Like, that's what he was. And, you know, there's a lot of maligning of Andrew Dalton's name. And we've been trying to correct that. We have been. But, you know, what? It's about time you start giving Andrew Dalton some fucking respect around here.
I love it. I'm just trying to say, like, I think that's the bigger story to me. It's not Antonio Pierce and the garbage Raiders, because their team is garbage and they should really, I don't know what they're going to be doing.
Let's talk about these business decisions.
You have Gardner Minshew, you know, he's a stopgap. He's not going to be able to win you a championship or win you a division. He's going to be good, but that's like Sam Darnold good until they get the tape on you. Like, you know, we talked about earlier, what's going to happen in game 4? I don't know. We're supposed to break in game 3, but with Gardner Minshew, it's already falling apart. The tape's out on him. We know what he can do. We know what he can't do. All I can say is like, listen, Adams is a stud. Bowers is a stud. They don't really have a running game. Their defense actually plays pretty damn good defense. Yeah. But you're limited. You're limited to what he's capable of doing, and he's just not capable of doing much.
Well, I mean, he is the prototypical backup quarterback. He's Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's Sam Darnold. He is that guy. Now,
I'm just surprised.
I'm interested about the business decisions that Antonio Pierce is talking about. So what are you entailing? What are you referring to? Are you referring to Jacoby Myers? Are you referring to Devontae Adams? Who's leaving? What business decisions are you making and cutting off the nose to spite your face? Who's going to a better situation this week? So is Devontae Adams finally going to be a Jet? Is Jacoby Myers going to go elsewhere? Is he going to end up in fucking Dallas or something? I don't know.
Garrett Wilson would lose his fucking mind if Adams went to New York at this point. Because you can already tell that Adams is really frustrated with the offense right now. Yeah. Because it's like, dude, what are you doing? Like, who are you throwing the ball to? Like, why is Lazard catching touchdown passes? We're not in Green Bay, asshole. Throw me the ball. You know? It's crazy because I don't know if anybody noticed, but it was towards the end of the game, and you could tell that they had a run play call for Bryce Young to score the touchdown, and Rodgers just dropped back, and he just threw it to Garrett Wilson, just pretty much just threw it to him, and he caught the touchdown, but Garrett was like, that wasn't even the play call, man. Like, you guys aren't even featuring me. Get the fuck up on out of here. Like, you want to talk about that Adam stuff, but I think the Raiders really missed on getting a better backup. Why didn't they get Joe Flacco? Joe Flacco would be great in that offense. He would just chuck the ball up to Adams all day long. Like, what has Gardner Minshew got that was the direction you wanted to go in?
It's a good question because he's not really that guy. He's not the vertical passing game guy that the Raiders are.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Like, you don't have Josh Jacobs anymore. Like,
nope.
You don't have a running game. You're pretty much saying, we're going to throw it. We got Jacoby Myers. We got Adams. We got Bowers. We're just going to throw the ball downfield. And Gardner Minshew is the guy that's going to be throwing the ball downfield.
Right.
This is a Flacco offense, man. Flacco back up and just let it rip, man. Throw 60-yard bomb. Someone will get it.
But you know what? Like, they passed on – they got rid of Jimmy. Jimmy wasn't going to be able to do it either. So the plan is flawed, man. The plan is flawed.
Because people are talking about Jimmy going to Miami. What's Jimmy going to do in Miami? He can't throw the ball like that.
How many more games does he have to sit out for the PEDs?
Tyler Huntley, he might be able to, but you got to be able to really throw the ball in that Mike McDaniels offense. It's a rhythm offense. It's timing. I don't really see – that's a whole nother bag of tricks. I don't know what's going to go on.
The answer might be Jameis Winston. But they're not going to get rid
of
James Winston.
For the Raiders?
For the Raiders. He's got a cannon, man. He's got a cannon.
Yeah. That's another guy. Why didn't you bring him in? What are you guys doing? I don't know what people are doing. But anyway, let's talk about baseball. We're finally here. There's only one October, baby.
That's right.
The last weekend of the Major League Baseball season is upon us. How could you not get romantic about baseball? Several teams have clinched. But there are multiple playoff spots still up for grabs. When it's all said and done and the smoke is cleared, who's in and who's out?
And staying back, there's a hurricane coming through. So if you guys didn't know, the Mets and Braves have been postponed for the next 2 days really because of a hurricane. Now, the Braves are home, but I don't know how the Kansas City Royals are getting into Atlanta to play these games. So that's 5 games that are negatively impacted by weather. And these are 5 games that include 3 potential playoff teams. So that is very interesting, and we'll do our amateur Jim Cantore shit later. But I marvel at the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah.
You traded Flaherty, you traded Canna, you traded Chafin, you punted. You selectively punted, right? And here you are, statistically tied with the Royals for the second wildcard spot in the American League. The Yankees are in, the Guardians are in, the Astros are in. We called that one. And the Orioles are in. They're clinched. They're done. You got the Royals, Tigers, Twins, and Mariners vying for two spots. So, of who's left?
How about the Rangers being eliminated? Oof.
Yeah. Oof. That's rough. That's a bad end for the American League and World Champions. So, but you know what? Injuries. Like you talked about it before in our production meeting with the Braves. Injuries matter. Like DeGrom is finally on the mound again. Scherzer's finally on the mound again. You're losing guys left and right. But when the smoke is cleared in the American League, it's hard not seeing the Tigers and the Twins right now. Because I think that the Royals and the Braves, it's going to be a friggin' dogfight. I think that the Tigers have... They got something, man. I can't put my finger on what it is because
they don't have Javi Baez.
That's the thing. There it is. You put the finger on it for me. Fucking disgusting numbers. Absolutely horrid numbers. Can I interest you in a 184 batting average with six homers and a negative 1.1 WAR? Can I interest you in that? It cost the Mets Pete Crow Armstrong. So that's all we need to know about Javi Baez's talent. There doesn't seem to be any talent anymore. It seems to be withered away. But the Tigers are onto something. I think the Orioles don't have anything to play for, and they're playing the Twins this weekend, so they might just be laying off the gas pedal a little bit. Mm-hmm. So
throttling the Yankees right now.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, that's interdivision. Like, they're going to do that just on principle. But they clinched last night. The Twins might have a better shot because the Braves and the Royals are going to tear each other up. When you look at the National League, it's a little murkier.
Before we go to the National League, I'm going to say I got the Royals.
Royals?
Yeah. I think your team is really good. I'd almost bet on the Royals to actually get to the World Series. That's how.
What about the second spot? Because there are two spots still available. Who's your second?
Minnesota. I'm not as big on Detroit as you are.
Yeah, I mean, they got some heart. A lot of kids on this team. It's really a marvel at what they're doing with such a lot of youth. Now, here's where it gets tricky. Right now, you have three teams for two spots in the National League. The Mets are playing the Brewers this weekend. The Brewers got nothing to play for. They can't move up or down. Like they'll be. The Dodgers have the Rockies. You figure they're sweeping the Rockies. You got the Phillies.
Clinched.
Yeah, they're clinched. They're in. They're playing the Nationals. Mm-hmm. The sorry no account Nationals. Do the Nationals have anything in there for spoiling? Do they have anything left to do anything? Probably not.
But they can't even do anything. The Phillies got the division.
The Brewers are locked in. So at this point, they'll probably be like maneuvering to get ready for the playoffs.
Right.
So the Mets can at least take two out of three there. You figure. If not sweep.
Sweep
would be ideal. Two out of three would be fine. What they cannot do is lose the series or get swept. Because then that makes Monday extremely important.
That's not going to happen.
So the Diamondbacks are drawing the Padres. Now, the Padres are in a very unique situation because they can still win the division. They can go past the Dodgers. And did you see how they clinched their playoff spot last night in a fucking triple play? They turned a goddamn triple play to end the game with Ohtani on deck. It's like, shit.
And you know Ohtani was going to hit the bomb. You know he was going to hit a grand slam to end that game.
Guarantee that wasn't in his parlay. The game-winning triple play. Shit. Son of a bitch.
Should have got a live chicken.
But, you know, the Padres still have something to play for, so they're going to want to put a whooping on the Diamondbacks.
For sure.
So there's still a possibility that the Braves and the Mets get in.
Very slim.
There's a very slim possibility, but it's a possibility nonetheless. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, if the Mets take care of business, Monday doesn't matter. Because if you go into Atlanta, just like in years past, it's a house of fucking horrors. Right? That's what happens. That's what happens to the Mets when they go to Atlanta to play the Braves.
The other issue with this whole thing is if they have to play these meaningful games on Monday.
Oh yeah.
Your pitching is all fucked up for the playoffs. Like you're
on both sides.
Yeah. Oh, it's a fucking disaster. It's not even worth it. Like you're already out.
Right.
And then you have to start the playoffs the next day.
That's bullshit. No, I'm sorry. That's bullshit. And that's on Rob Manfred. Shocker. It's on Rob Manfred. You had the opportunity to tell the Braves and the Mets, you have a mutual off day on Monday. The weather looks beautiful. You're going to fucking play. Instead, no. Oh, we want the night games. We want the house. Okay, well now you lost two games. One, which was a makeup game from April. Mind you. So, and with this hurricane, you might lose three more. So, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. Now, if you're Rob Manfred, you really need to be considering, fuck, do I need to push the playoffs back? Mm-hmm. Like, I know it's, sure.
He's not.
He's a clueless putz.
He doesn't fucking care.
No.
How did these three
playoff teams, like, nah, fuck them. Fuck them. It's okay.
Yeah, well, I have the Diamondbacks and the Mets getting in. That's what I have it. But let me ask you a question. How do these Mets compare to the 2000 Mets? Do you see any similarities with these two teams on your side? And then what was your takeaway from the 2000 Met team and the 2000 World Series? Were they just overmatched or, you know,
I don't think anybody was beating that 2000 Yankees team. The Yankees were loaded that year. But the Mets, they were scrappy, right? I mean, think about who was on that team, right? You had Jay Payton. You had Benny Agbayani.
Joe McEwing.
You had Mike Piazza. Mike Piazza was your star. But then you got guys like Robin Ventura, solid player. Olerud, one of my favorite first basemen of all time.
Right.
So, yeah, I think
Eduardo,
I'm pretty sure.
Eduardo Alfonso.
Fonzie
right?
was at second, yeah. And then, you know.
Mike Hampton.
Hampton was on that team. Leiter was on that team. I think Rick Reed was on that team.
Rick Reed.
Yeah, so you had.
Benitez was the closer.
Oh, yeah. Now I got Aja. Now I got a stomachache. But, you know, that was a gritty, gutty team. It had their. You had a lot of B-plus talent on there. You had your star in Piazza. And then you had guys, I mean, frankly, guys like Jay Payton and Benny Agbayani were lucky to be in the majors. Timo Perez was on that team. So, like, they were definitely the weakest of the bunch. Like, I got to say the 2015 was stronger. The 2015 World Series team was stronger. And I got to say the 2015 World Series team is stronger than this current iteration of the Mets. I have to say that team is better. It was deeper with starting pitching. You had Cespedes. That makes a difference. You had guys like Juan Uribe. You had Kelly Johnson. Duda was smashing the ball. You had Murph. Daniel fucking Murphy, the one who got away. Like that's what, you know, Jeff McNeil wishes he could be what Daniel Murphy is. Was. So this team, this current iteration of the New York Mets, they've got some scrap to them. It's a pleasure to watch. You know, guys like Jose Iglesias and Jesse Winker, they bring joy, they bring excitement, they bring energy. Brandon Nimmo is a budding superstar. He's having a down year this year average-wise, but power-wise he's doing great. Lindor is the star of this team. And Lindor is probably going to finish in second place for the MVP. So that's kind of where they are. Pete bothers me. Pete bothers me a lot because you can tell he's thinking about his future because he is absolutely just flailing at anything right now. He's absolutely just flailing at anything, and he looks absolutely overmatched. He looks completely lost at the plate. Alvarez looks completely lost at the plate sometimes. So the 2000 team was the weakest of the bunch. this team is probably second. This current team is second. And 2015 is still the gold standard of the current iteration of the Mets. And I'm not talking about 86. I'm not talking about 69. I'm not talking about those teams. Those are in a different stratosphere. It was a different time. But the modern Mets, 2015 is still the gold standard. But this team, they get in, they're as dangerous as anybody. Dangerous as anybody. Their starting pitching is pretty good. They have a good back end of the bullpen with Budo, Maton, Diaz. They got pieces. Alonso scares the shit out of me in a big spot. Who do I want up in the big spot? Not Pete Alonso. I love Pete. I love the enthusiasm he brings. Give me Nimmo. Give me Lindor. Give me Tyrone Taylor. Like, Tyrone Taylor is fucking, you know, contributed in the clutch. Jesse Winker has delivered in the clutch. JD Martinez, he's in the slump right now. I would take those guys over Pete right now, which sucks for him because he's about to be a free agent. But all things said, when the smoke is done, when the smoke is cleared and the dust is settled, the New York Mets are going to be in the playoffs. And they're going to put a capper on this crazy-ass fucking season. From Seymour Wiener to the Rally Pimp to Oh My God to Grimace to the Hawk Tua Girl. It's been a fucking, like, soap opera. But it is one that will end with them in the playoffs. Now, when you get there, all bets are off. Mostly because Rob Manfred is fucking them over.
And who's the other team?
The Braves, too. I think the Braves still have a chance to get in. I think they do. I think the Padres are going to take their... I think they're going to take it seriously. I think they're going to knock the Diamondbacks out. I think we end up with Mets-Braves. I think we do. But the Mets ahead of the Braves in the standings. That being said, you know, they draw in that first round. I think they draw the Brewers again. At that point, they would draw the Brewers. So, round two ain't going to be the same as round one. That's all you need to know.
When owning a home, it's important to have heating and cooling professional available when things go wrong. AirCare Technicians is a veteran-owned HVAC company servicing the Westchester area. They are licensed to service, repair, maintenance, and replace all HVAC units. If your unit is not running properly or you would like to improve the air quality in your home, contact AirCare Technicians for a free quote. They offer same-day and emergency services for all your needs. You can reach them at 914-315-1547. AirCare Technicians, 914-315-1547.
Bullshit or no shit? We're going to debunk this week's most controversial topics right
now. All right, boys and girls, we have a statement. It's either bullshit or no shit. Bullshit or no shit, number one. Travis Hunter is the best player in college football.
Best athlete? Maybe best athlete. I don't know if he's the best player. I do think it's very impressive what he's able to do, playing both ways and being a stud on both sides of the football. But I would make that he's the best athlete in college football, but I wouldn't say he's the best player.
It's hard to parse them, to be honest with you, because you're looking at, you know, who are you looking at? Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward. You're looking at quarterbacks for the most part. I'm going to go no shit just because he's special, because he's different, because he can do more than those guys. I'll throw it out there. I'll be your Huckleberry on that. I think that he provides something different He provides something extra, kind of like the way Shohei Ohtani does, right? The differentiator between him and Lindor. They're both very good players. Ohtani just does a little bit extra. So in that regard, you know, I'm going to take Travis Hunter as the best player. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean Heisman, because as we know, that's a quarterback award lately, actually most of the time. So he would need to, like, God knows what he would have to do in order to unseat a quarterback. Probably what? 1,000 yards, maybe more. Lead the nation in picks.
No, I don't think so, because look at Charles Woodson. Charles Woodson was able to get it, and I think it was mainly based on his ability to return kicks. But he's
I think the media is going to trip over themselves to try to anoint a guy like Shedeur Sanders, even though he's not that great. And a lot of guys aren't that good. So, and if Arch Manning really kind of like takes off, I could see him getting back into it too. So, I don't know. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around that, because we see it so infrequently that a non-quarterback wins the Heisman. I would love to see it. I would love to see it, because I think he is doing the most impressive thing in college football right now. Bullshit or no shit, number two. UNLV's Matthew Sluka's decision to redshirt the rest of this season and transfer.
So what are we trying to say? Like,
yeah, is it bullshit or no shit? Like, for those of you that don't know, he's pulling out of his deal with UNLV because allegedly they reneged on promises they made to him. And then the school is saying that, no, they made all of their promises to him, but the price just went up because they played better competition and he played well.
Yeah, so it's just the Wild Wild West, man. Like, there's no signed contracts. We're going off of people's word. This kid has an agent. He transferred from Holy Cross to come play here. He's only got 2 years of eligibility left. And he's looking, I mean, it's hard because for me, I think he knows he's not going to be playing on Sundays. So he's really got to be cashing in right now, right? You're going to see a lot of this. You're going to see a lot of this. There's nothing to stop them from doing this. Teams are going to have to eventually get, like, a person to run this and keep track of all this. So I'm going to say no shit. I mean, he's trying to say that he wants more. And what are you going to do? How are you not going to give him what he's asking for? I don't believe he's making this stuff up. Well, he wants more, and this is who you got in bed with. So, yeah.
The decision's absolutely bullshit. The fact that they had to make that decision is absolutely bullshit. This whole landscape of college football is bullshit.
It's a mess. It's a mess. It's an absolute mess. It's a disaster, and there's nobody in control. Right. There's nobody at the helm of this. Like, it's a he said, she said right now. Like, he's saying, oh, I was supposed to get $100,000, and the coach was supposed to come over, and they're like, we never agreed to that. What the hell are you talking about? Now, did his agent tell him this? Did his agent tell him that he worked out this deal, and he's going off whatever the agent said? Like, it's a disaster, and you just stop playing football. You're playing football. And they're a good team. They're 3-0, I think. Like, he had a real chance. But if he's looking to cash in, Z, if he knows he's not going to be playing on Sundays, it's like, yeah, I need $100,000 this year, and I'm going to need $200,000 next year. I don't know how
you show up for your teammates. That's for damn sure. Like, that would be nice.
I think that's out the window. This guy's a hero for hire. He just came from another school.
Exactly. And he's like, oh, he's I want to thank my teammates and I want to wish them. You spit in their face. This decision spits in their face. That's not a team decision. If you were a good teammate, that's not the decision you make. Like, that's completely off the board.
So what if it's true? What if they are not coming through on the things that they told him that they were going to do? What is he supposed to do? Just say, okay, I guess I'll just play? Even though you guys told me you were going to do this and you didn't do it? What would you do? Just say, okay, I'm going to play anyway?
He has no choice.
That's hard.
If it was me, I would play. I would honor my commitment.
If it was you. If it was you and you and the diff, and you're going, you played 4 years at Holy Cross. You are only transferring to play for UNLV because they promised you $100,000 in X, Y, and Z. The only reason why you go in there over any other school. You get there, it's going great. You're 3-0. Oh, the stuff we told you we were going to give you, I don't know who told you you're going to give. We're not doing that. And you're like, all right, I'm still having fun. I'm not going to class. I'm just playing football. That's cool. I'll stay.
I'd honor my commitment because I made my commitment. Yeah, now, we don't know.
You don't even know. Doesn't matter. You don't know these people.
I made a commitment.
These people. You've been here for two months.
This team.
So you.
And I'm going to do that. So.
You're telling me you go through a job interview, you get the teaching job, they promise you you're gonna have a nice classroom, nice class, everything's gonna be great, great. You get there, you get the shit classroom, you get a different class, they're not paying you what you thought you were gonna make.
Yeah, like, actually I do, and that's what I do on a daily basis. This is not teaching.
I'm staying here.
I am essential. He is not. At the end of the day. No, he's not. Because you know what? They'll get some other asshole off the fucking free agency. They'll go pick him off the fucking wire. This is the nature of the.
I'm not saying it's not wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I also see it from his perspective. It's like, wait a minute. Like, I'm not going to bust my ass for you. When you're not coming through on the things you told me you were going to do, I'm going to save my eligibility. And next year, I started out 3-0 this year. I'm going to go to a team that's going to honor their commitment to me because now I know I have value. Because otherwise, he could play this year for nothing, get nothing, waste his time.
This is also negative to his reputation.
He doesn't have a future as a football player.
So,
nope. From a what perspective?
And what's to stop him from doing this to University of Michigan next year? Oh, you promised me $1.1 million. You only delivered $850,000. Goodbye.
Well, that's the other thing that I heard. I heard the going rate for a quarterback is about $1 million. So he's only taking $100K.
Right. We used to call a guy like this
a
flake.
That's a bargain. Yeah.
So.
He's a good flake. He sure is.
Oh, he's a good flake.
But he's a good flake.
He's a flake that renegotiates on the fly.
Team.
So that's no good. That's not good.
Yes.
So honor the terms of the agreement. Sorry. If you really wanted that, you should have gotten in writing. If you were in school instead of just on the football field, take some business courses. Always get it in writing. Bullshit or no shit. Number three, Trevor Lawrence is overrated. Oh.
What the hell is that about, right? Isn't that crazy? I was looking at his numbers. They were showing his numbers compared to Daniel Jones. Their numbers are basically the same. And the $245 million man only has two touchdowns and one interception this season. How crazy is that? I don't know what's going on. But I know it sounds wild.
It's not that wild.
You gotta consider starting Mac Jones. The team's loaded. They got receivers. They've got a running back. And the running back's playing really well. Travis Etienne is averaging more than 3.5 yards a carry. He's doing very well. Trevor, on the other hand, don't know what the hell is going on. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know much about the offensive line. I don't know if he's holding the ball too long. I don't know if they're shit. Yeah. I don't know if it's that. Mac Jones is from Jacksonville. Mac Jones wants to play. I think you give him two more games and say, Mr. 245 mil.
No shit, Trevor Lawrence is overrated. He absolutely is overrated. When you, statistically, you compare to Daniel Jones, and Daniel Jones is better than him in some statistics, that's a problem. Now, what was promised coming out of Clemson, you want to talk about, you know, we're going back to promises. What was promised coming out of Clemson was a complete quarterback. We're not seeing it. We're not seeing it. And to be fair, but we will be fair, he was coached by Urban Meyer at the debacle that that was with the Jaguars. And now he's got Doug Peterson. He's got a guy there. He's good coach. Quarterback whisperer. He should be able to coach the shit out of him.
Good coach.
And yet it's not happening. He's still only averaging about 6 yards an attempt. 52.8% completion this year. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. This team has expectations. But they also had expectations last year and they spit the bit. They started 8-3 and then they friggin' missed the playoffs. So they choked like dogs. Yeah, he's like 1-7, 1-8 in his last nine games, something like that. So, and the cupboard hasn't been bare. The cupboard absolutely has been, and the cupboard has not been bare. He has been hurt a little bit, but he just can't seem to do what he did that sophomore year in Clemson. Like, he's not as dynamic, he's not as explosive, he's not as polished as he was that year in college under Dabo Sweeney. So, is it possible that eventually Mac Jones gets somewhere? He got some burn the other day. It was 47-10, so why the hell not? And Mac Jones went 5-8. Way more efficient than Trevor Lawrence. So, if it continues, you might have to consider a change. Doug Peterson is absolutely considering. He said everything's on the table. So when you hear that, it's just like, shit, my job is possibly on the line here. But, yeah, it's just a situation where Trevor Lawrence has not grown enough to match the hype that came with him coming out of college. So, is there time for him? I mean, sure, why not? There's, you know, we're watching potentially Sam Darnold blossom in front of our eyes, right? We watched Geno Smith blossom two seasons ago. So it's possible. It's possible. Anything is possible. But as of right now, absolutely overrated. Complete no shit. Completely no shit. He's got to get better. And there really is nothing else to say about it, because he's on a team that's ready to go. He's holding them back right now. And that's the biggest slap in the face of all.
Yep. Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade Store with DNZ.com today and check out our releases in apparel, accessories, drinkware, and more. Ever wanted an Alleged Superstar t-shirt? We got those. You want some yoga pants? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have a lot of exciting collaborations and new products on the way. But check out what we have now at thefadestorewithdnz.com. That's thefadestorewithdnz.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at @FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll @FadeRoutePodcast, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote, and the winner of said vote gets a shout out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
The Philadelphia Eagles. Narrowly taking them over the top. Bryce Young and the Jacksonville Jaguars were tied for second, but the Eagles, for that inexplicable pass play, when a run will win the game. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Legend Superstar of the Week, D?
All right, so first up, I've got your boy, Javi Baez. Oof. Man, this year, he was batting 184 in 272 at-bats with 50 hits. The team decided to DFA him, and guess what? The Tigers could possibly make the playoffs now. Since leaving the Tigers, the Detroit Tigers have turned around so much that they are heading to the postseason, or could be heading to the postseason. My goodness, my goodness, my goodness. I don't think there's ever been a better alleged superstar. Number two, Trevor Lawrence. 10 points against the Bills, 2 touchdowns and 1 interception in 3 games for the $245 million man. Trevor needs to do better. Just do better. And my last one are the 49ers. I know they didn't have all their players, but at one point, they were up 21-7 on the Rams, who then came back and won the game without any of their players. No Cup and no Nacua. And they didn't let that stop them. So the 49ers, you are my Legend Superstars of the Week. What do you got, Z?
Yeah, those are great choices. You really can't go wrong with any of them. I'm going to start with Jerry Jones.
That guy.
Your team gets thrashed by the Ravens. Yes, you come back, but the Ravens had their way with you and your soft-ass defense, particularly Derrick Henry. And then, Jerry Jones, you're on record saying that you couldn't afford to bring Derrick Henry in. You're a fucking billionaire. Are you kidding me? What kind of horse shit is that? Oh, I know why you can't afford him. Because Dak and CD have all your money. Now, maybe if you had complimentary football, your team would be better than 1-2. Maybe if you paid for a GM, your team would be better constructed and they'd be better than 1-2. Food for thought, Jerry. Food for thought. Jerry Jones, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, the Pittsburgh Pirates. DFA'd Rowdy Tellez, who's not having a great season, but that's not really the point. The point is, he was coming up against a bonus. He was about to earn an extra $200K if he made it to 425 at-bats. What number did he make it to? He made it to 421. They cut him 4 at-bats short. And he's been shit for most of the year. Why is he even on the team? If you were that concerned that he would get 425 at-bats. So you cut him with 421. You don't even tell Derek Shelton, listen, we're going to pull a Russell Wilson. Just put him on the bench. Forget he's there for the remainder of the season. That would have been way more dignified. Because now, guess what, Ben Sherrington, GM? Guess who's going to have a bad relationship with free agents now? Because that's how you deal with players. Pittsburgh Pirates, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And last but not least, CJ Abrams. Ooh, this one's bad. This one's bad. Out all night till 8 a.m. in a Chicago casino. Only problem is you got a day game. Oops. Out in the casino till 8. Got to be at the park at 9. Went 0 for 4 and then got sent to fucking West Palm Beach. So, it's not a vacation either. That's where the high A ball team is. That's where the spring training complex is. You're going to be there for the foreseeable future. Actually, you know what? Just stay down there until February when we report. Just stay right there. The message needed to be sent by Davey Martinez and Mike Rizzo. The message was sent. Hopefully, Abrams heard it, because that is absolutely inexcusable. CJ Abrams, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ or our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote and vote and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.